Good morning. I'd like to call the 1,374th meeting of the Board of Directors to order. May I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Dyke. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Costa. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? May I have the certification of the Board Executive Session from Mr. Allen?
Madam Chair, I move that the Board certify to the best of each member's knowledge that at the just concluded executive session, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under Board Bylaws Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the Board.
Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Dyke. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Next is the approval of the minutes of April 26th Board Meeting. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Downs. And second by Mr. Downey. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Next is a public comment, and there are two persons signed up. One, Abraham. One, please come forward right to the podium here. Welcome. You have a, there's a timer here, and you can begin speaking now. Mr. Abraham, I think we would like the information that you've gathered, and I'm going to ask staff if they would speak with you after you completed here. And I want to tell you that I think the general manager and the staff will agree with us that what you have described is not the operating procedures that we expect, and so let's have him respond with the staff to your questions that you've raised. Okay, thank you for coming out. The next speaker is Michael Sindman.
Actually, Madam Chair, it's Michael Sindram.
Thank you.
Disabled veterans served our country more than most. The memorial to the crash victims. When, Ms. Bowser, will the community weigh in? There's been robust discussion, to say the least, and the community residents are concerned. I can appreciate the victims of what their desires are, but the community, we need to have input. I can see Ms. Bowser looking at her, whatever it is, but not paying attention. That's not appropriate, and it's not good. And unlike the previous witness, I filled out more than one rider comment card, Madam Chair, and I've checked out repeatedly. Yes, I want to know the results of actions taken. I haven't heard a word. I've asked Ms. Bowser's office, and it falls on deaf ears. We get some action, Madam Chair. That would be most helpful. There's an election coming up, and most of you are elected officials. I had an article that appeared recently in the Examiner, Monday, May the 21st, to be exact. An irrelevant part, it's captioned, "Riders on losing end of rush, plus still face higher fares." And I quote, "But what really irks Bailey, the rider, is the cost of her new slower service. I'm going to be charged for rush hour service while I'm no longer receiving it," she said. Bailey currently pays $5.20 each way using a smart trip card if she travels during the 90-minute peak of the peak windows. She won't get a break on the fare after the service changes on June 18th. And after July 1st, when fare hikes take effect, her new fare will be $5.40, even with the agency scrapping the peak of the peak surcharge, according to Metro's fare calculators. Madam Chair, I submit, based solely on your Ramada record, would any of you be reelected? Resounding answer would be no. And thank you, Mayor Ewell, for your help with your staffer. Still some more work to be done, but I appreciate reaching out, unlike the local folks here, which is not happening. So once again, Madam Chair, to recap, if you were to run, based on this article, your record, all your record, on Ramada alone, would you be reelected? I want you to think about that. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the last public comment person. The next item is a report from the Riders Advisory Council, and Dr. Kelsey Brathmore is here to present. Thank you.
Sure. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here today to present you with the Riders Advisory Council's report for May 2012. Over the last month, the RAC leadership team had the opportunity to meet with both Board Chair Hudgens and General Manager Sauls. Both meetings were productive. Incorporating the feedback from the two meetings and from council members themselves, the RAC has developed a list of five initiatives on which it plans to focus on, and in some cases already has started on over the remainder of the year. These items are: 1, bus stop accessibility and enhancements; 2, improving communication with riders; 3, encouraging greater input from low-income and limited English proficient riders; 4, improving Metro Transit services to Dulles and BWI airports; and 5, youth safety and youth transit concerns. The RAC has already provided the board with a deliverable for one of the initiatives, communication. A consistent topic of concern raised by RAC members and riders alike for several years has been the need for clear and informative communication with riders about the agency's long-term goals, strategic planning efforts and overall mission, as well as information about board and management actions to govern and administer Metro. In an effort to improve the transit literacy of riders and regain the trust of riders, the RAC hopes that WMATA will consider the RAC's 9 emergency communication recommendations submitted to the board on May 18. The RAC looked to other authorities across the nation, given the resources we have, to examine how other transit authorities communicate with their riders for 9 emergency matters. Some examples of RAC suggestions to improve communications with riders include a CEO report, a monthly newsletter, and splitting the Twitter accounts to differentiate between service advisories and news updates, agency information, and additional staff commentary and information. There are bright spots in Metro's communication efforts that the RAC commends will model on, such as the video recently produced to highlight service changes as part of Rush Plus service that will begin in June 2012, and the blog run by Metro's Office of Long-Range Planning, planetmetro.com. The RAC looks forward to hearing back from the board and Metro staff with their evaluation of the communication suggestions. And as always, the RAC is available to discuss these recommendations further or provide any further information if requested. Additionally, the RAC approves holding a special meeting to further explore roles and responsibilities for emergency response in light of some recent incidents that have exposed vulnerabilities with current practices as reported in the media and during today's public comment period. The meeting would focus on providing riders with information about how Metro coordinates with jurisdictional public safety agencies to respond to incidents. It would also help riders gain an understanding of what to expect with regard to incident response, as well as highlight riders' responsibilities should they be involved in an incident or the victim of crime. The RAC offered to partner with the board committee to host such a meeting, and we look forward to getting feedback from the board on the meeting in general and the possibility of working together to host such a meeting. That concludes my oral report. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Dr. Brackmore. First of all, I want to thank you and your leadership group for meeting with me. I think in working with the board, I think we'd like to follow through on your request of setting our own sort of priorities and things that we would like to work with you on so that you have a focus, as you indicated. I share with the board members that the request was, how best can we use the Riders Advisory Council? And I think that means that it means for us to sit down and think about what your priorities are, what ours are, and how we can work better to do that. So I look forward to getting back to you, maybe with some of the board members, and meeting again so that we can continue on a constructive role. Let me acknowledge Mr. Downs before I go any further, because he may be responding.
Madam Chair, I want to recognize this effort. I think this is incredibly good about what you're doing, about a focused agenda, the five initial objectives. I think that your comments on WMATA communications are to the point and timely. I hope you persist in follow-up both with the staff and with the board. This looks like a totally revitalized RAC with a lot of focus and a aggressive agenda, which I take it as a commitment to the importance of WMATA and to all of its customers. So I wanted to publicly thank you and the members of the RAC for launching this effort.
Thank you. We appreciate your kind words. We are trying our best to be more action-oriented and to look forward and to include perspectives from everyone, not just the staff, but the board member and the riders alike. And so we think that we've got, hopefully, we're implementing a sustainable process that other RAC leadership teams in the future can adopt and continue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks.
Next is Mr. Sheehan from the Accessible Advisory Committee.
Okay, great. Thank you. I appreciate being here today. We have a short report. I'd like Phil to go through some of the bus and rail recommendations we have from the subcommittee. Then I want to discuss a little bit about the fare calculator, what we've seen with as far as Metro Access is concerned, and recommendations that we have concerning the fare calculator and what we want to do in the future. Bill?
I'll try not to break the mic this time. Personally, I just want to take a second to thank the board and Mr. Acosta for the Finance Subcommittee and giving me an opportunity to represent the views of the AAC. I think that was a very useful meeting, and I really appreciate that, as does the AAC. I'll be relatively brief on this, since Susan Holland couldn't make the report, and I'm just a member of the committee. But the Bus Rail Committee received an update on the 7,000 series rail car procurement from Chief Engineer Joseph Reynolds, and as someone who chaired the accessibility 7,000 car group, I was delighted. We worked with staff for almost a year and a half in getting things done. The engineering staff was incredibly helpful in putting things together, and you've seen our approval of the report and what's going into it. It's a first-rate, world-class car. I ride a lot of cars in other countries and other cities, and the 7,000 series, you're going to be proud of it. It's really good, and it's very accessible. The BRS also discussed the recently publicized ergonomic study, originally released in September 2011 at the request of the board. And there was a discussion at the BRS and then a full discussion at the AAC on this. And what was noted was that this was a one-day report of an experience of people that were not used to using our system and people that were not used to having accessibility issues. However, the point that was made in our discussion was a number of the events that did occur to these people on the day that they tried it do occur from time to people that do use wheelchairs, do use crutches, do have vision problems. And what we would take it as something for us to study. We already have a lighting group that is working on items. Bus Rail has a bus stop accessibility subgroup that is working. And so we take this as an opportunity to point out some of the shortcomings that are currently being worked on by staff and by the AAC. So take it for what it's worth. It's a one-day event by people that are not trained to do this, that are not familiar with the system. But clearly there are some issues that can improve accessibility, and that's something we're working on, and staff is working on, and the board is working on, and we're very happy that that's going on. To go on to the bus stop accessibility issue, the good news is, and you've had a report from the grant from Prince George County to increase accessibility in that area, there's another large grant that has become available for area-wide increase in bus stop accessibility. That group, and I'm a member of that group, has met the first time to set criteria for deciding what is going to be used to decide which of the bus stops are the first ones in line to be upgraded. And we had representatives from the stakeholders in the community, from the AAC, and also from the RAC. And it was a very, very well-organized meeting, and we came up with some good numbers. On June the 6th, we're having our second meeting to actually set the protocol. So that is moving ahead at a pace. I'm proud of my county, Arlington County. I've already received two emails asking me for information on accessible bus stops and ones that need it. So the people in the different jurisdictions are moving forward and giving information to that subcommittee. In addition, in response to BRS request, Rita Davis from Rail and Ruth Solomon from BTRA briefed the BRS on the improved ADA training for Metro personnel, including training videos featuring customers with disabilities. And this is something that's really important, and staff has worked with us so that it's the old walk a mile in my shoes. And staff is becoming very, very responsive, both bus and rail, in being aware of what our problems are. And then the last thing that happened at Bus Rail may affect your budget today. And that is something that the RAC talked to you about, and that is the change of fare media to get more and more people to use smart trip cards to increase boarding speed on the buses. And one of the things that we discussed and actually made a motion that will appear in next month's letter was that until the ability to load the smart trip cards become more accessible, there's a request that that particular penalty on using cash to board a bus is held off. Because right now, the only way to put money on a smart trip card is either on the bus, online, or at a metro station. And in many counties, like Fairfax, they're just not accessible. One of the members of our committee actually has to take two buses to get to a place where she can put money on her card. And so what we're requesting is that when you pass the budget this afternoon and leave that item in there, you just delay implementation of it until there are more places made available so that people can actually put money on those cards. Because right now, loading on the cards, and Mr. Shan witnessed it this weekend, somebody having to stand in front of the yellow line while the bus is moving, putting money into the machine, loading it on a card, and then using the card to load the fare, that doesn't speed boarding. And it's also dangerous. So thank you very much, and I'll turn it back to the boss.
Thank you.
Disconnected this time. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate that. Pinch hitting this morning for Susan. The other thing that I want to discuss is the fare calculator. We've been coming to you for, I think, 8 or 9 months now, talking about Metro Access fares. We certainly had a gang of people last month here, a disability community, and I was very proud of them showing up and giving their stories. I also appreciate the support, the questions, that I've gotten from the board, board members that have attended the AAC meetings. I do appreciate that. And I think we've come a long way in with respect to the fare calculator. We've seen a couple of demos, and there has been a motion from the AAC that we would like to see the fare calculator, the tool itself be implemented, given to the reservationists, and be online ready to go in July when the new budget rolls around. That's going to entail training of the operators to give the to be able to offer to the patrons the cheapest fare. I think also there'll be an education piece involved with the patrons so that they know that they can ask for the lowest fare. So it's going to be an education piece on both fronts. I'm very pleased with the tool. Over the 8 or 9 or 10 months that we have been talking and looking at certain possibilities, I think we've come up with half a dozen. What the tool gives us, I think, are many things that you've talked about. Fairness, simplicity. I think it gives equity to the patrons so that they can understand what the fares are going to be. We in looking at the tool and realizing that perhaps making it ADA compliant was going to be a difficult job. I think that having the reservationists have access to the tool and offer that online to the patrons as they call in is going to be a good thing. The last thing I want to really do is to thank the board for being so easy to work with, for listening to our suggestions, for the give and take. Especially, I think that you guys have to recognize the tremendous work that Christian Kenton and Carol Kissel did, and particularly Christian. Without our ability to get information and data and suggestions from Christian as to what can be done, what can't be done, and the same with Carol, we wouldn't be where we are right now. And I think, particularly in Christian's position, he's always been to our committee meetings. He gives us very good, honest, frank suggestions. He also works with the general manager, who may have a sort of somewhat different view of the world than we do, a larger view of how to sustain the entire system. So we have, from time to time, I think, put Christian in a very difficult position, and he's been extremely professional in being able to meet our needs and then also meeting the needs of the general manager. So you need to appreciate his work and Carol Kissel's work. We understand, and I listened to the Finance Subcommittee discussion and the tape, and we understand that there are issues concerning sustainability of the system. We certainly don't want the Metro Access system to grow at the rate of 22% like it had in the past and jeopardize the system in general. But what we would like to be able to do is to, once we have this tool implemented, to continue working through our subcommittees, Metro Access and Phil's Fair Policy Working Group, to make sure that the effect that this fare calculator has on Metro Access is going to be reasonable and fair, and that if we see that there are some issues that are showing that the Metro Access perhaps is growing at too rapid a rate to sustain effectiveness, that we sit down in a group and be able to come up with maybe some alternatives for making sure that Metro Access doesn't go out of control. So once again, I think what we have achieved, the board, the staff, and the disability community, I think is very well done. I like the partnership. I like the teamwork. I certainly like the results. I think monitoring the results is going to be our next phase to make sure that it's fair for the disabled community, fair for Metro. And a big thanks from my committee to you, Carol Kissel, and to Christian Kent for a job well done. Questions?
Any questions from the board? I have no questions. I want to say thank you very much for the work, and I think being able to work collaboratively with the staff and with your committee, I think has been very productive in terms of us getting kind of results. And I think the output that we had from the users was a helpful piece
good.
For us. So thank you very much, and
thank
we look
you.
Forward to continuing working on it.
Thank you very much.
Any other? Okay. Thank you. The next item is a report of the chair, and I have today the motion to appoint to the Writers Advisory Ms. Barbara Hermanson. She's replacing Jamie Bresner from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Is there a motion that we move for the appointment of Ms. Hermanson? Moved by Mr. Dyke. Second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Downs. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you. Next is a report from the general manager.
Good morning, Chair Hudgens and board members. This weekend we will mark the completion of a key NTSB safety recommendation when we wrap up the mainline switch replacement program we call the Guarded Number 8 Project, a guarded rail that permits trains to move between tracks more safely. I want to recognize and thank Rail, Ties, SAFE, and other departments representing hundreds of frontline employees who have completed this complex work safely. This requires the coordination of hundreds of wayside employees per shift across multiple disciplines and the operation of numerous types of track equipment. The staging of the work involves complex coordination of separate elements and parallel activities within narrow production windows to minimize inconvenience to customers. In addition, months of pre-planning are required to ensure proper execution of bus bridges and rail service plans and appropriate communication to the public. This is truly a comprehensive WMATA effort that involves personnel from every department of the organization. I would especially like to thank Darvin Kelly and his team for their efforts over the past 4 years to complete this important work safely. This project has really been a model of how we are making safety our first priority while moving Metro forward through our rebuilding efforts. The Guard 8 project was underway when the NTSB recommended a change in 2007. The completion date of May 28, 2012 represents the installation of 178 turnouts with 108 installed between 2008 and 2012. The total project cost was approximately $57 million funded by the federal government as well as the jurisdictions. I want to take a moment to recognize our Metro congressional delegation, including Senators Mikulski, Cardin, Warner, and Webb, Representatives Hoyer, Wolf, Moran, Connolly, Van Hollen, Edwards, and Holmes Norton. This milestone would not be possible without their unwavering support, ensuring that we had the funding needed to get this work done. We are seeking your approval today of the FY13 operating and capital budgets as recommended by the Finance Committee, which will continue to fund critical safety and reliability improvements, allow us to expand rush hour rail service, and enhance priority bus corridors. The budget also funds preparations for the Silver Line, as well as invests in key customer service improvements. Next month, we will present to the Customer Service Committee a plan that details more than 50 actions that we have underway to improve the Metro customer experience. One example is customer service training for frontline rail and bus employees, which will be completed over the next year. The budget also makes possible $5 million over the next year to provide customers with better bus service. Early board action in April ensured delivery of $2 million worth of improvements in June through the use of prior year surpluses. Better Bus represents the largest single investment in bus service in 5 years. It will include the introduction of new limited stop Metro extra routes on 3 new travel corridors, conversion of 4 existing routes to limited stop Metro extra service, and refinements to 11 existing priority corridors. Next month, more than 150,000 customers, roughly one-third of all bus customers, will benefit from more frequent service, additional capacity, and improved reliability and expanded hours of operation on selected Metro Extra routes, as well as improvements to selected local Metro bus routes. The first round of improvements made possible by your April board action will take effect. June 17th is intended to improve on-time performance and reliability while reducing crowding for customers along several routes in the district, Maryland, and Virginia. To inform customers of these bus service enhancements and to encourage ridership, Metro will launch a Better Bus public awareness campaign, including in-system posters, signage, and onboard announcements, newspaper ads, Take One flyer ads, email alerts, and web pages starting today. Later in the fiscal year, Metro will advance several more projects along priority corridor networks. For more information on specific bus routes, go to amad.com to see Better Bus details and timetables. Consistent with the board's approval of fare changes last month, we have begun the process of producing signage and customer information to inform customers in advance of the new fares. For customers who want to make a switch to Smart Trip cards, I have good news today. By July 1st, we will have installed Smart Trip dispensers at the top 10 stations for paper card sales, so that riders will have the option to buy a reloadable Smart Trip card, providing a convenience and a savings as the new $1 paper surcharge takes effect in July. But why wait? You can order your Smart Trip card online right now, and it will be delivered right to you. Go to MATA.com or at any retail outlet that sells Smart Trip cards. At the conclusion of this meeting, we will unveil the first of 16 new vehicles being piloted for Metro Access service. We invite you to take a look at the new equipment. Unlike the current paratransit fleet, the MV1 requires no conversion or aftermarket equipment. It also has advanced safety features, a smoother, quieter ride, and a design that maximizes space and convenience. Metro Access customers will benefit from shorter boarding times as a result of the MV1 ramp design, which allows customers to board without the use of a lift. Metro Access customers will begin to see the new vehicles in June, and we will be seeking customer feedback about the vehicles over the next several months. This is the last board meeting for one of my executive team members, Nat Bottingheimer, who is relocating with his family to Princeton, New Jersey, where his wife will become a professor of astrophysics. Just think about that. Washington's loss is my home state's gain. During his tenure at WMATA, Nat led a landmark revision of real estate development guidelines to streamline the process, encourage stakeholder collaboration, and promote transit-oriented development outcomes. He oversaw multiple commuter park and ride program improvements, including exit lane automation. He created our agency-wide sustainability programs and initiated the park and garage lighting efficiency effort to save money. And that led Metro's first bike and pedestrian improvement program. Thankfully, he will continue with us for a few months on a part-time basis to assure a smooth transition and focus, in particular on the regional transit system plan effort. I thank Nat for his service and for leaving a legacy of accomplishments and a talented staff from which Metro will benefit from years to come. Finally, I want you to introduce a hero in our midst who helped save a life during a series of criminal attacks in the Petworth neighborhood. In late April, Petworth experienced a rash of assaults and a homicide by someone attacking victims with a claw hammer. In each case, the victims were struck from behind and found suffering severe head trauma. During the early morning hours of April 25th, bus operator Edwin Ruffin was driving south along Georgia Avenue. As he entered the Emerson Street and Delafield Place block, he noticed what he thought was a crumpled bundle in the approaching lane. As he got closer, he looked out his window and realized it was a man lying in the street. Mr. Ruffin immediately pulled over his bus and went to the man's assistance. He found the man covered in blood while choking, gagging, and struggling to breathe. The operator asked two passengers from his bus to stop traffic on the northbound lane and to contact 911 while he assisted the victim. Having had CPR training, Operator Ruffin held the injured man on his side and propped his head to allow the fluid to flow out of his mouth and throat. Operator Ruffin stayed with the injured man until the police arrived. He then explained the incident to the officers and, after providing his name and contact information, got back on his bus, contacted Bus Operations Control Center before continuing his bus route. Metropolitan Police later determined that the man was one of five victims attacked with a hammer in the Petworth area during the course of a week. We thank Edwin Ruffin for his grace under pressure and his compassionate act that may have saved a life. Please join me, Mr. Ruffin. And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you to Mr. Ruffin for all of his service. And I think the board wishes to join us, join in wishing Mr. Bottenheimer his thanks and good luck in his future endeavors. And we appreciate this. Thank you very much. Best of luck to you. The next is a report from the Finance and Administration. Mr. Costa.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The following action was referred to the board at the May meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee. Staff requested board approval of the FY 2013 operating and capital budgets and the six-year capital budget. The total FY 2013 budget is $2.52 billion. The operating budget is $1.57 billion. The FY13 operating reimbursable budget is $35.2 million, and the FY2013 capital budget is $905.2 million. The six-year capital budget for FY2013 through FY2018 is $5.50 billion. The resolution also allocates up to $250,000 after all those billions and millions to a consulting contract to assess the potential consolidation of WMATA's defined benefit pension plans. And also the resolution also includes a budget work program attachment that identifies longer-term budget issues for FY 2014 and beyond. Madam Chairman, I'd like to move approval of the budget resolution.
It's been moved and properly seconded. Is there discussion?
Madam Chair.
Question from Ms. Hines.
Thank you. I listened carefully to the testimony that we heard from the AAC this morning, and I'm delighted that we're going to be putting Smart Trip vending cards and the capacity to refill them is going to be expanded across the stations in our Metro Rail system. But I just pulled up our Columbia Pike line, which is the highest bus ridership line, I believe, in the state of Virginia. There are only two locations in Arlington where one can load your Smart Trip card along Columbia Pike. And we have thousands and thousands and thousands of people who ride every single day. So I have some sympathy to the request that they made that we hold off a bit on this surcharge and make sure that we've got a push out of other places to, particularly for bus riders, where these cards can be reloaded, because otherwise we really are stuck with the buses as the best option for the vast majority of people.
Well, let me ask a question regarding the consequences of delaying, but more importantly, about the opportunities for filling in the places that are without those places for loading.
Well, as you know, we're well along, based on the board's authorization back in April, with regard to the fare change. The programming, the signage has all been produced now, and in fact, we'll be starting to install in a short period of time. You'd have to start revising that, and I don't know what the schedule consequences would be, but there would be schedule consequences. I would also point out that folks who have Smart Trip cards can now go to WMATA.com, and for those who have access to the internet, and download increased value onto the Smart Trip cards. I will, with Carol, look at the opportunities to expand the distribution network and retail stores along such areas as Columbia Pike.
It's important, I think, if I might follow up. We really need to make it a priority to get the capacity to load this into more places. It's just most of the folks that I'm thinking about who are many of our bus riders on Columbia Pike may not have regular access to the internet. One of our main locations where we had computers is actually under construction right now, with another site under one of our libraries is being revamped and will be closed for a chunk of the summer. So some of that public access that one might expect people to have access to is in fact somewhat compromised. But nonetheless, I don't think libraries should be the only places that people really can. And we had talked actually last year about trying to work with social service agencies, again, because that is a place where many of these folks go regularly. And if there was a way to load Smart Trip at those locations, many, many people would take advantage of it. So I just really do encourage us to press on this, given this penalty, which is significant, I mean, per ride. It's a dollar is a lot.
This is on the paper card, usage of a paper card.
Right, right. Right. But if you don't have a good, efficient way to reload the Smart Trip, you're going to do the paper card, I think.
But we are also incorporating, and Ms. Kissel, if you can tell me, we indicated we wanted to push more cards out through the social service agencies. And we're
working with them to do that. And to Mrs. Hines' point, a way to, as we do automatic reload on the cards, way to work with the social service agencies so they can do that in participation with us, so they can actually get those cards distributed more easily. We are looking at certain distribution channels. We like to also help local stores besides just CVS's and the like of Giants, because I think that's where a lot of those customers would naturally go to get to get other things and pick up that. But a lot of those cards are reloaded with cash anyway, so there's still cash in our system. I think that's not going away. So,
Mr. Downey.
As we evaluate the progress on this, one thing I think we should look at, if we push more people to the Smart Trip card, but then find them reloading the card on the bus, we may have defeated the purpose of smooth access onto the bus. Ultimately, if we have the open card architecture, a lot of that could go away, but we want to make sure we're not making conditions worse rather than better.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Dales, and then I'll have a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to recognize that the board is adopting a budget earlier than we have in years and years and years. And I want to encourage the board and the staff to take advantage of the time window that is created about what the staff has outlined as the multi-year business plan process. It's hard to think about starting the fiscal year 14 budget, but we're also talking about 14, 15, and potentially even 16 as a business plan, looking at costs, trends, service, ridership. While we won't have the final 12 results until the end of this fiscal year, the window of time that is now available could easily be filled with a set of staff discussion items brought to the board through the Finance Committee about this multi-year business planning process. I don't want to lose the time and focus that is going to be required to have a multi-year business plan as a framework for the annual budget. It is really important for all of us to define what's going to happen over those next two or three years. And we've taken the time and effort to create that opportunity. The other is a suggestion as we go through that process is to look at the issues around the rollover and delivery of the capital budget program going forward. We're carrying over a significant amount of money against the original plan. It's important to have the board understand and the public understand whether or not some of that carryover is that projects were delivered at less than initially estimated cost, or that there were constraints in the procurement or even available time on the system to deliver that work. It's important for all of us to understand what challenges going forward there are about the delivery of this five-year capital improvements plan so that we can start to make adjustments as we go. We have not taken the time to do that yet, and I would encourage the staff and the general manager to bring that to the Finance Committee in a timely fashion. Concludes my comments.
Mr. Downey.
Another subject of concern that we should, I think, be looking at. Everything has to work well within this budget that we're approving, and three things that I see closely interrelating are a very aggressive capital program, continuing to do lots of work on the system, a constrained amount of overtime in the budget, and we typically overrun our overtime, and a hiring rate ahead of what we ever have achieved in order to make the other two things work. I think it needs very careful monitoring, and I think in particular, if we could talk at the Safety Committee, either in July or at the September meeting, in June or July, rather, on how we will monitor overtime and how we'll be working through that to assure that we achieve the results that we all hope would be achieved by the budget this year.
I just like to add that first want to start by thanking Mr. Acosta for the work that he's done in order to get us through the budget process in the Finance Committee. And I want to call attention to Attachment E. Attachment E notes the work plan that we will look forward to for 2014. And I think it was very deliberate in terms of us looking forward that the work that we need to do is, has been given the forethought to that. I think on the question that was raised earlier regarding the delay, I think it's we have worked really hard to bring the budget in early as possible. We are providing, I think, the required time frame for the staff to implement the changes that are needed for the new budget. I would ask that maybe we continue working. I think we can continue through the Finance Committee to try and address the questions regarding the paper fare and the smart trip loading. I think we understand how important it is, but I think from the standpoint of the timing of us being able to change our direction, I think we will have to continue the work in trying to identify other avenues. And I think one way we might do that is that from a jurisdictional standpoint, we work with staff to try and identify other locations that might be really more available that we're familiar with, because it affects us all out in our own communities every day. I want to, with that, ask, are there any other discussions regarding your motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion before us?
Aye.
And those opposed? Thank you very much. That is the last item on our agenda. The last is a report from the District of Columbia.
The District of Columbia has nothing to report.
And from Maryland.
There is
no the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, we have no reports. And the federal government, Mr. Downey. No surprises. Hearing no more business before the board, I would move that we adjourn.